Some people clap on a 1 and 3. Some people clap on a 2 and 4. Some people don't join at all because they got no rhythm, and that's all right. Some people, they drink too much. Some people don't drink enough. Some people are just like me. I hope y'all forgive them. I'm like Scott, cause I'm a gold band. I'm like Pete Southpound, Van Van. I'm always speaking my mind, but I'm better off by my tongue. I'm a bad show at the wrong time. Still, I'm a legend in my own mind. Good for the song, but I'm not for everyone.
Welcome to another episode of Two Ales and Hockey Tales with Wally. And today I am so excited to have on a 29-year-old from Fredrikstad, Norway, our first Norwegian in the shed. His hockey journey has taken him to Norway, Sweden, Austria, and wherever the Norwegian national team took him. And now the chocolatey Manchester Storm of England, a staple and legend with Stjernen Hockey, where he was raised from a puppy and made Team Norway in the under-18s and under-20s, where he led the team in scoring for fun, and then the men's team, all while he was with Stjernen, and for fun became the captain. He did head out and spread his hockey wings with Modo and Pantern in Sweden. He even cheated on Stjernen for a playoff drive with Vålerenga back in Norway before heading back and becoming the captain for years before just last season dabbling in Austria in the ice hockey league with the pioneers of Vorarlberg. But he is now running amok of the EIHL with a bunch of shed guys, making it rain chocolate in rainy Manchester, England. Welcome to the shed, Andreas Heyer.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks for coming. And fun fact, you are the first Norwegian in the shed.
Yeah, that's good.
It is good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty excited. I actually know a couple Norwegians, and I was thinking, I'm surprised I haven't had any of them on yet. You know Michael Eskesson?
Yeah, he's Danish, though.
Huh?
He's Danish.
Danish. Well, he had, or his girlfriend was Norwegian. That's what it was, because he played for Team Denmark. Yeah. I'm an idiot. I knew he played in Norway, though.
Yeah, he played in Scandinavia. He did,
But the other one definitely is Norwegian, and I'm not an idiot anymore. Ole Tollefsen?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, he was my teammate in Syracuse. He was injured when I was there, and we went for a couple lunches together. He's a good dude.
Yeah, he was called the Norwegian Nightmare, I think.
He liked to throw big body checks, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So I get into how we know each other. You were recommended as a shed guy from the most famous fan in the EIHL, Jake. He says you tap on the glass and say what's up during warmups, and then you go out and run amok. I like muck runners.
Yeah.
You know who Jake is, eh? He's the director of shed marketing. He's probably thrown chocolate at you before.
Yeah, I probably know who it is. And I guess he's one of many who throws chocolate bars, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, eh? People throwing chocolate over there?
Yeah, that was a big surprise for me first time that happened. So, now I'm used to it and I like it.
I don't know if Santo has started sharing his Carl Fazers from Finland, but they do import them from Finland to Manchester to throw them at him. And I'm curious, what's your favorite chocolate bar? Is there anything cool in Norway I don't know about?
Yeah, it's we have two big brands, Nidar and Freya.
And Nidar those are and Freya?
Nidar and Freya. And Norway, like those are pretty hard to get actually. So when I was leaving Norway to come here to Manchester, I got some extra with me. So I have them stored in my apartment. So they're not like famous worldwide, but in Norway they are.
So what are they? Straight up chocolate, or like what? We got some nougat in there, some peanuts. What's going on?
Yeah, it's all different. You have, of course, the classic milk chocolate, and then you have those with Yeah, with those small chopped nuts, and you have with the almond nuts, and then you also have some chocolate with some
raisins in it. You probably shouldn't talk dirty to me. It's lunchtime. Which one of those is, if say I was in the importing and exporting business of chocolate here in the shed headquarters, yeah. Which one of those is your favorite? I'm thinking the almonds with the chopped up peanuts there or whatever.
Yeah, those are good. And they also are called firklöver. Firklöver, yeah.
You might need to send me a picture of what we're talking about here, because if I know how to spell this.
Yeah, I can do that later. Yeah. But yeah, also the most normal one, Freya melkechokolade. Like,
I understood that. I understood that. Yeah. That was milk chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just the normal one, and that's always a winner, yeah.
So it would be pretty neat, though, if we talk like this in the shed, and then people took it upon themselves to like import it to Manchester, and then when you run amok and win the game, then somebody throws one of those at you, right? That would be cool.
Then I would be very, very surprised and impressed.
Me too. I would be. That's too for sure. And what, I have faith in the shed family. I think we can get this done, you know.
Yeah, seems like you have got a lot of things going on there. So then
I do have a lot going on.
Yeah.
And fun fact, folks, I am a sponsor of the Manchester Storm this season. Captain Critch, right? Have you ever seen the logo on the back of his jersey? It's pretty cool.
Yes, I am. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So fun fact, Storm fans, or fans of hockey, because hockey is supposed to be fun. Sorry, Cardiff, I haven't sponsored a jersey with you guys this year. I am a Devil, but hockey's supposed to be fun, and I'm having fun, and I owe some people some money for sponsoring the Manchester Storm, and I'm having a raffle at aleshockeytales.com, and I'm raffling off a 2 Ales and Hockey Tales jersey with my name and number on it. Whether you want that or not, support the shed and Captain Critch, right? Go hockey.
Yeah, for sure. That's a great idea.
Yeah, so folks, I owe some bad people money, I don't know if you've ever seen Finner fight. He can, and I owe him some money, so people please buy tickets so he doesn't come find me, right?
Yeah.
But seriously, Finner could fight. I don't know if you can tell. He's like probably this big suit guy now. He probably doesn't even talk to the team. He probably just walks around, deals with sponsors and stuff, or what?
No, he's been there a lot, I think, and he comes in on practices, and he also comes in on games. So even though he dress up sometimes, he always comes to the locker room and say That's hi good. To the boys, and yeah, for sure, I've seen some YouTube clips of Finner. So yeah, he can fight.
Yeah, I never played against him, but he coached against me, and his teams were always tough. And played hard. Yeah, so. Anywho, what are your thoughts of Manchester so far? You having fun? First time in the UK?
Yeah. Yeah. First time ever in the UK. And I like it. I really like it. It's really nice.
How'd you make that decision to go to the UK, and how'd you end up in Manchester?
Not very tough, but how to give you the best answer on it. It was... for me, it was in the summer. I was still looking for chances to play. When I say abroad, then I mean outside Norway. And yeah. I wanted to continue outside Norway. So
you wanted to spread your wings and try something new.
Yeah, yeah, true. So me and my girlfriend, we were waiting our first child over the summer, so they also delayed the my hockey
decision.
Yeah, so it was a little bit that was of course in the second or third on the priority list. So
you had a kid this summer, or when did you have what'd you have?
Yeah, we got our son Ludwig, born on the 14th of August.
Nice.
So he's still pretty fresh. So yeah,
that is fresh. Probably pissing and shitting all over you.
Yeah, like that'll happen. But my girlfriend Ingrid, she's doing a really, really good job. So while I'm at practice or games, she's taking good care of him. And but yeah, back to your question, then it was an option from my agent came up late in August. When I talked to Ginner on the phone, I got a really good impression of the city, the team, the club, and yeah, also Ginner as a coach. I really liked his ideas and how he want things to work. So for me, that was actually a pretty easy decision. And I think that UK and England have, like, as a league, developed a lot the last couple of years. Last year, I started the season in Stjernen in Norway and played with JJ Piknich. And he's, I guess, for many fans in the English league, he's a known player, and he won the league here in scoring with Belfast. So I talked a lot with him, and he's doing really good now in Stjernen in Norway. So he said that, yeah, you should try the league in UK if you want to try. So for me, then, yeah.
Every league is different, though, eh? Like, I find Denmark was very different than playing in the UK. Had you find that?
Yeah, like, I think that is, how do you say, it's hard to compare the leagues, but I think the level is pretty much the same. But of course, I find the UK league a little bit more physical than what I'm used to in Norway. And in Norway, we like to play with high speed, but it's not so physical, as I said. But I think here we also have the tempo and the speed, but a little bit more physical. So, you know, and I also like that, even though I'm not a big fighter myself, I think it's good that
it's part of the game, right?
Exactly. If someone makes a bad play or like an ugly hit, that actually gets some you gotta actually stand up for it, and I think that's a good thing because that will eliminate those ugly hits. And especially in Norway right now, it's a lot of checks to the head, check from behind, kneeings, and
you can't do nothing about it.
Yeah, if you jump that guy and yeah, you tell him that this is not okay, you get five game suspensions for fighting. But
five games for fighting?
Yeah, like
that's embarrassing.
And then the guy who maybe started it, the whole thing with the hit, he probably get like two games for a knee. So like, I think that's
it
kind
makes
of
no
weird,
sense.
But
I think hockey is hockey when there's fighting, when people can let guys know they can't do that. Like, I'm the same. I'm not the fighter, but I had to do it a couple times to let people know, like, you can't, that's unacceptable. And then I also think if a little scorer guy will fight for the team and for the right reasons, it can also show the team what's up. And I think winning takes everyone, and it does. It's not just the fighters fighting. It's a team and teammates standing up for each other. And people may think it's crazy, but like, it means a lot to a guy. Like, if I got blown up and a guy goes in and fights that guy for me, that means a lot as a teammate and for the next game and for the whole season, that you then end up doing more for each other. You block more shots, you play a little bit harder because guys are willing to do that for each other.
Yeah, I agree. And as I said, I think that especially like in Norway, as I mentioned, is like you also take away those guys who run around and yeah, injure people. Of course, I don't think a lot of guys do it on purpose, but
Kevin Noble,
when they play a little bit on that edge, I think that it's good that someone actually can respond to that. And then you got to actually, next time you're probably not going to make that hit, or you're actually going to, yeah, I guess
it's true though.
Think
it's
another time.
Like, I thought NCAA was very much the same, where you couldn't fight. So guys did worse hits. They did worse things on the ice because you weren't held accountable. And I was the same way. And then I got to pro and I did a couple of those things that I would do in college. And then all of a sudden the gigantic guy got off the bench and skated right at me. And I was like, oh, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And
but
then you learn.
Like, of course. Yeah, for sure. And I think, of course, it should be a balance that, I don't know if the league or want to see like 20 fights a game, but like if it's necessary, I think that's bright. And I know that if myself would have a bad hit on someone, there will be consequences. And mm-hmm.
That's hockey.
I think that's a part of the game, yeah.
I agree. So you're liking the UK league. You know what I found was when I went there, I'd been in Germany. It was like we're talking about. Then Denmark. I thought it was a pretty soft league. There wasn't much bumping and grinding and hitting. It was very skilled, fast guys, fast game. But I got to the UK. I thought it was as hockey as it gets in 2014-15, man. Every team had talented players. They had mucker-uppers. They had fast guys. They had fighters. And it was like competing at a different level. And it was way more fun for me playing like that old school hockey again.
Yeah, I understand.
Mm-hmm. Anywho, where and what are you doing now? You're in Manchester?
Yeah.
Nice apartment. Looks nice.
Yeah, it's the kitchen in the background there. So
you got your kid and your girlfriend there, so they're not sticking you with roommates, are they?
No, that was also like the good thing with Manchester here, that we got the opportunity to have apartment for ourselves, and now he's 3 months, so then I think that's was the best also for us, but also for that teammate or roommate I would have had
for sleeping patterns. Yes, I agree. last guy I had on, actually, it's been way too long since I've been in my shed. I've been itching all week, but I've been way too busy with stuff. But Tremblay came on last week, and then he scored and got to start the next game. And that was pretty exciting. But the funny thing was, I had him on, and he talked about his girlfriend likes the chocolate. And he said she'd eat anything. But then she put this thing up. I got a video, like, hour or two later, and it was like the TikTok thing, and I couldn't believe how fast things can happen in 2023, man. And she does want chocolate, you know. Even it takes everybody to win, and the girlfriends want chocolate too, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does your girlfriend like chocolate? She probably likes those Norwegian ones we were talking about, the one we're gonna send, right?
We are a little bit on the same page there.
Mm-hmm. And what was the final verdict? What chocolate bar was it we're sending over again?
It's Freya Melkechokolade.
Freya
Melkechokolade.
My Melkechokolade people, get involved, right?
Yeah, very good.
And I think that's funny because I kind of feel like a part of the team. But Alex O'Dale just got his first pro start at 18 years old in his hometown of Sheffield, eh?
Yeah, that was really, really impressive. I think he played a really good game for us. So, yeah, it was fun to see him jumping on the ice and, played a very good game for us.
And I, because I know what's going on in hockey again now, you guys need to just, you, it didn't matter if you won or lost or something, you had to just score two goals to move on?
Yeah, that was a little bit confusing and weird situation for us. But, yeah, we had to, if we were going to lose, we had to at least score two goals.
And you did, and I saw Shed Guy Santos scored that, Carl Fager's folks, right?
Yeah, that was a big goal for us, and especially it was nice to get it in the second period and not with 3-4, maybe 2 minutes left of the third period and chasing.
Would have got
one,
a bit stressful, yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You know what's interesting about it all, though, right? Like, I know your guys' record wasn't that good to move on, but there's actually no home ice advantage. You play a home and home against the other team. So it actually doesn't matter what place you finish. If you're in the quarterfinals, you're in the quarterfinals, right?
Yeah.
And anybody can beat anybody. Who do you guys play?
Who we will play?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we will play Sheffield.
Okay. Yeah. You guys play them a lot, it seems.
Yeah, it feels like.
Yeah. So what have you been doing for fun in Manchester?
No, we have
baby's fresh. Been, eh? You're going for walks in the stroller.
Yeah, walks. We have been in the Trafford Center a couple times, taking the tram to the Trafford Center, or we have also taken the tram downtown, so to Manchester, the center in Manchester. Been in the Arndale Shopping Center, and soon we're gonna go to check out the Christmas markets.
Oh yeah, Christmas markets are awesome. You should get the whole squad out there and have a time. I loved Christmas markets with the guys. That's what I miss about playing hockey. It's not playing hockey. It's Christmas markets and beer tents and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Seriously, you should get everybody at the Christmas market and just have a time, you know? Just thinking out loud the shit. Anyways, I don't know why I thought of this, but you know, you moved away from Norway, you're in the UK. Anything you miss about Norway? Is that, what do you miss the most about being home in Norway?
That's a tough question. But
I know I'm here for the tough questions.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Now I have to say that it's a lot of rain here in Manchester, and
chocolate rain.
Yeah, that too, but that's a positive thing. But sometimes it can be, it feels like it never stops raining. But
I hear you. It doesn't really like snow enough, right? Like it's just like in between. It's like the cold rain. I'd rather it snow than cold rain. Yeah.
Yeah. So back in Norway, then right now it's minus 10 degrees and snow. So it's more like feeling of a winter there. Here it's right now it's probably zero, and but it's not raining though, so that's good.
So Norwegian food, what's that like? I know in Denmark, you know, they had a pretty high-end hot dog game and they're into cakes and stuff, but what's Norway into?
A lot of fish in Norway, especially
that makes sense.
Salmon, potatoes, and also a little bit similar to the Swedish ones with the meatballs.
IKEA style meatballs, the little ones, you know.
Yeah, but you can also get those bigger ones of those meatballs, and that's more common in Norway with some brown sauce and mashed potatoes and carrots and broccoli and
I'm getting hungry again. Anywho, back to Alex Oldale getting that start though. 18 years old, he's only been a hockey player for 6 years, and he's a little beauty. And he came to the shed similar to how you did. Was a fan at the game took a picture of him signing kids stuff and saying he went out of his way to sign kids this and that, and you should have him on. And it's nice to see the new generation of hockey guys being hockey guys and getting it with the kids. And then you see a kid like that getting his first start in pro hockey. It just warms your heart over here in Canada, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And that's what I think it's nice with our rink, that especially on the warm-ups, you have the people watching there. Yeah, they are just right on the other side of the boards. And
they're right there.
Yeah, on the glass and something, then it's sometimes it's hard to not how do you say
not get distracted and be saying hi.
Yeah, or register that. Yeah. So it's,
but it means so much to those kids, right? Like just the players interacting with them, whether it's something small or whatever. Like you can still get ready for a hockey game and be like joking around with the kids, right?
Exactly, and I think also in general that our fans here in Manchester are really, really good.
They are, though. People wonder how I got so into this, though. It's like, well, I find hockey is like a hockey family. My hockey family has gotten really big, but like Manchester, the Storm support what I do. And like to think of Ginner as the coach, like since he's become a coach, his first year as a head coach, it was like October, November when I tried to start this Chocolate Storm thing. And he's never once thought of me as distracting his players, this or that. Like, he gets how to hockey. He gets what I'm about. And I'm just trying to have fun and give guys shed boosts. And I think it's cool. But like, Finner has supported me. And then like, when they share my stuff on social media, it's not hard for hockey guys. All we want to do is be appreciated, right? And I find it's the same when you're playing, as if a team appreciates you and they let you know. It's like, I just had my under 13 kids that I'm coaching. Like, we just had progress meetings with each kid. And basically I kind of like told them all the things they were doing well and like tried to make them feel appreciated and what they're doing is important, no matter what role it is on a team. Right. And I just didn't, I'm happy that Manchester has shown their appreciation for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
As I said, I think
went on a rant there.
I think Manchester is really good at involving also our fans, and
takes everyone to win. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, and like we are one club, and of course, without fans, I think things will be tougher. So like I.
Well, it's like when people are playing without fans there a couple of years ago. Hockey wasn't hockey, man. It was brutal.
No. Yeah, that wasn't fun at all. And in Norway, too, we had I was in Norway those years, and some games were zero spectators, and then they opened up a little bit, and then it was 50 spectators. So, like, yeah.
We're the lucky 50 that get in, right?
Yeah, true.
But no, it's good to have everything back on track and like the building rocking, and that storm shelter can get rocking, eh? Because it's very much like there's a rink called the Big Blue Tent in Cardiff before the one they're in now, the one I played in. And man, yep. I had never been in such a loud arena. When we started winning and started running amok that season, and like you said, there's people right at the glass, they were like five people deep. And man, that's hockey at its finest when you get people right up at the glass. And they're standing behind each other, and like everybody's in it together, and it can make guys play better.
Yeah, I think of course you can take from that energy that they create. So, yeah, I agree with you. In our rink, when it's almost sold out, and it gets really really loud in there, and
everybody just wants to throw their chocolate.
Yeah. So no, I think it's funny, and I really, as I said, I really like our fans, and especially now, like from the Scotland trip we were on. Unfortunately, we didn't end up with the result we were hoping for, but the fans we had on all those three games, I was really really impressed, and I know that all of us appreciate that.
Yeah. For sure. And so do I. And I know people have taken their chocolate and they still get it. We don't throw chocolate when we don't win, and we got to earn it. But I did see that there is a fan, a ringleader, you could call him, that is getting t-shirts made of, there's one that's like a Mars bar and it says Storm on it. And then they're making one with Critch on it, and it's going to look like a Kit Kat or something. And man, I just think it's so neat when this stuff's going on.
Yeah.
But it made me think out loud. I'm gonna think out loud right now, is I should make t-shirts if I could get Matt Carruth and Evan Mosey's blessing, and have a Mosey Kit Kat and a Carruth Twix, and we should sell that stuff, you know. Fun is fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're number 48. Why?
Actually, that's because when our son Ludwig was born, he was 48 centimeters long.
See, I knew there's a reason. So this is the first year you're 48 then.
Yeah, usually I have been wearing number 9. That was taken. And then I also have wear number 19. And I have wear number 7. So all those three were taken when I signed, because I was the last guy signing. So then I was thinking, okay, I gotta come up with something new, and I want to be a little bit creative. So
it sounds like you were.
Yeah.
So 48 feels good, feels comfortable.
Yeah. I took a little bit.
Once you start playing, you don't realize, right? You don't know what's on your back.
That's true. But when I was picking up stuff in the locker room or something, and it was like with 48 on, I was like, oh yeah, that's me. Like it took a little bit of time, but
it's true though. It's like if a fan brings like a card or something from a different season, and you're like, oh, I was number what? And you're like, you don't want to sign it wrong.
Yeah, true.
Okay. Poster picks. There's one, it looks like it's like the national anthem, and you got your game face on, and the jersey said Norges Hockey Forbund.
Right? Yeah, Norwegian Ice Hockey Federation, yeah.
Is that the national team's jersey?
No, that was, or like in unofficial games. That was right before the World Championship in Riga in 2021. So I think that picture is from Sweden. So, and I think also that game was with no spectators.
Ugh, gross.
Yeah.
You had your game face on though, and it brought back memories for me because obviously I don't play anymore. But the national anthem was one of those things of hockey that I missed. Was standing on a blue line, and you're with all your buddies, and you're like looking at the other team and they're looking at you guys, and then you play the song, but you're all giving each other the game face and like, we're going to go out there and muck it up. And I miss that. I miss standing there with all my guys. Like, we're coming to kick the shit out of you, and you think you're coming to kick the shit out of us. Let's do this thing. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's the right before the face off. So it's a good build up. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm, that's one of the things I miss about playing, but now when I'm coaching, I still get all jazzed up before the game.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see here. Another one, you're celebrating behind the net. That's a sweet photo, and I was going to zoom in on her because you have the Norwegian flag up in the rafters, and then you sell in behind, and I was going to put my first Norwegian, and I never got around to it, but that's a sweet photo.
Yeah, that's in Stjernen, in my hometown club.
Stjernen? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Stjernen. Standing,
looks
yeah.
Like a sweet barn.
Yeah, it's pretty old. It's built in 1970s, so
I like those ones.
Yeah, so it gets same as here in Manchester. It gets very loud, so like you get that compact feeling, and you can get very loud there as well. So, but now they are hoping for a new rink to be built there.
You know what? I used to like go through guys' careers. I like jumping around more. So you were the captain for your hometown team. How did you end up deciding to leave that year and go to Austria? It was just last season you left. How do you come up during the season as it's your hometown? You've been the captain for years. How does it go about that you leave?
I was captain for, I was playing there 4 years in a row after I was in Sweden. So I was 3 years captain, and then I was assistant previous season. And that was actually more like a decision I made to, how do you say, get a little bit fresh start in my career. I felt like
you were getting stale.
Yeah, I'm not exactly what that means, but I felt that I was a little bit standing on the same point I had done for like 2-3 years. So I felt like I needed something new, a new environment. And as you said in the intro, I'm 29 years old. So I wanted to try to push for the next step. And that's why I ended up in Austria. Of course, it was maybe not very popular decision by the supporters and fans we have there, but I think also a lot of them understood my decision, and I had to do that for myself and my own career to try to make the next step.
I get it. I mean, when I was in Bietigheim, my part of this is I had like the season of my career the first year there, and then like I loved it there, they loved me, and it was comfortable, but it almost got like too comfortable. I got stale, I got a bit lazy, and like I was still playing good, but like I didn't have that extra passion drive to like be trying to get to the next step, because I was just happy where I was and I wasn't trying to go anywhere. And looking back on it, I probably should have gone while I could. And you can always go back, right? You can't always go, but you can always go back, usually. That makes sense.
Yeah, no, I understand what you mean. And that's a little bit the same feeling for me. I felt that, of course, it's my hometown club. So that was a very hard and tough decision to take. But I felt it was necessary. And in Austria...
So is Sternen the town, or is that the name of the team? Is Fredrikstad the town?
That's the name of the town, And Stjernen is the team in that town.
Gotcha. And how big a town are we talking here?
80,000.
80,000? That's pretty good size.
Yeah, it's the sixth or seventh biggest town in Norway.
I've never been to Norway, but it's got like fjords, right? And those are like mountains, am I right?
Yeah, you have, I guess a lot of people have seen all those nice photos and the nature, but that's up on the west coast or further up north. I'm from pretty southeast in Norway, so it's not so big mountains, and
Oh.
of course the nature and stuff is fine there too, but you don't take those nice photos there. Like if you search on Google or something, then you don't see Fredrikstad there, but you see of course those fjords and
Yeah.
Lofoten and like up north area.
Does Norway do Christmas markets and stuff too?
Yeah, they do, but it's not as like, how do you say, like of course we have them, but I think not in the same level as Germany, Austria.
Yeah.
And I also seen photos here from Manchester, so
Yeah.
yeah.
Honestly, I think that's one thing North America needs to be better at. We don't have that here. And man, it's one thing I really miss. It gets you out of the house, you get outdoors, you enjoy your time, and it's a break from the real world going to those Christmas markets, and man, they're fun.
Yeah, for sure they are, and it's you get this Christmas feeling too. So I really like them. I'm a big fan of the Christmas markets.
Yeah, me too. Anyways, moving on. You did also leave to go to Sweden, and that was when you were like you had really ran amok. I got it written down here. 2015-16, you had 37 points in your hometown, and you played 13 games for the national team, eh?
Yep.
So, how did that go that you went to Sweden and left then? That was similar, right? You were working your way up and you wanted a new challenge, and but like you went to Modo, that's like a what's the word? A historic franchise? Is that the word? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. They won the Swedish championship in 2007, I think. And now they're back in the SHL.
Yeah. So how was that? How was your Swedish experiment? Was the hockey different there as well?
Yeah, a little bit. It's Allsvenskan is very good league, and to be a second league, it's a very good league. And
I've heard that. I heard it's really hard to score
yeah.
points in that league.
Yeah, and it's a lot of young Swedish, very structured players. It's hard to find openings. It's hard to, as you say, create points. So for me, that was a very good experience and a lot of learning. But I felt that they categorized me a little bit as a player. They were more like, yeah, you're more like of a defensive player. And as you said, I came from a pretty good season in Norway, so I was hoping to build off that and
And then
continue to be
getting power play
producing.
time is a thing. It's like when I go to
Yeah.
the AHL as a scorer and then they don't put me on the power play, it's like, well, like that's what I do.
Yeah, like of course we players have different strengths, and I believe that my strengths is in the offense, and in Sweden I got to practice and learn a lot about my defense, but I
But it
was
does
not
help
seen
your
as
career
an,
too, though, right? Like once
yeah.
for me, when I got to pro, I wasn't good enough defensively. And then once I got that sorted out, then I could go back to being the offensive guy I used to be, right? But there was a time where I had to learn the defensive side. But I haven't given anybody a player review in a while without seeing them play. I think you do have offensive side, but I think you're an all-around player. I think you're a 200-foot player, but you're a winger. You're willing to block shots, muck it up. You take it hard to the net. Am I right or wrong so far?
Yeah, that's what I feel. I probably learned a lot in Sweden, though. It's three zones on the rink for a reason. And when I came from Norway, my focus was from red line and in. But in Sweden, I learned also that you got to play on the other side of the red line too. So of course that helped me a lot to develop the defensive part of the game. So yeah, that I wouldn't be without those 3 years for sure, even though I wanted to climb in Sweden, but that's of course very, very tough. But I learned a lot in Allsvenskan, and as we mentioned, it's a pretty good league, so that was a good experience.
Anyways, let's keep jumping around then, eh? When you were in Sweden there for the 3 years, the last year you were with Pantern, whatever that is, but you went back to Norway and cheated on your hometown and you played for Vålerenga.
Yep.
That must have been weird, eh? You didn't play. Did you play Sterning then with that team?
Yeah, actually, I played. We played Sterning away. So I had to go in the, how do you say, the guest team's dressing room. And yeah,
that would have been a weird experience,
eh? Yeah, that was weird. And also, that game, I think we won 4-2, and I scored the 3-2 goal. But then there was a lot of booze there. So
that's hockey.
No celebration for me, but it was a weird experience. For sure.
I think that's hilarious that you scored the winning goal, though, because that's hockey.
yeah, that was a little weird. Yeah.
That Vålerenga team, though, above the A, there's a little circle. What does that do? You know, in your language?
I'm sorry.
In Vålerenga, above the A, there's like a little circle thingy. What does that thing do?
That's a letter we call O.
Oh, so it's Vålerenga?
Vålerenga.
Vålerenga, see? Yeah. Just trying to learn in my shed, you know?
yeah, for sure. Now we have in our alphabet, we have three extra letters, and that's A, E, O.
A, E, O. And that's the O, the circle on top, but then there's the two dots too, right? Is that, or that's
German? Yeah, that's in German and Swedish, but in Norway we have just a line crossing. And then the A, it's A with an E within. So it's like, on the A, on the end of the A, it's like those three for the E. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like when I was in Sunderjyski, their circle has the line through it.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Anywho, being named the captain of your hometown, though, when you did go back, that must have been a big day, eh?
Yeah, that was, of course.
After they were booing you the year before, you scored.
Yeah, that was goal. Just. That was just a couple months earlier. Yeah. No, of course, it was a big honor and special feeling to be a captain. I guess it's special and a big honor to be captain for any team. But for my hometown, that was a little bit extra special, of course. So.
And when you're a captain, like you talked about beforehand, you're a red line in type player. A captain has to be that 200-foot player that you've become, right?
Yeah. And. As I said, without those years in Sweden, I'm not sure, like, of course, you develop on the ice, but I also developed off the ice. So, like, without those 3 years in Sweden, I'm not sure that I might be picked as a captain, yeah? So, yeah.
Speaking of that switching or playing your hometown team, was I had never played against a team I had played for until my third year professional. I had never switched teams, never played against a team I had been on until I was switched from Landshut to Beatingheim, and then I played Landshut, and playing against a team I'd been on the year before, man, and I had never done it. It was a very strange feeling, you know?
Yeah, I can. Yeah, I know. Of course, some guys change teams more often than others, so some guys are maybe more used to it, but for me, that's of course weird. I did that in Sweden too, when I went from Modo back to Norway, and then I went to Pantern. Then I played Modo the 2 years after that. Of course, that was also special and like weird feeling, but especially with Vålerenga playing against Gannon. Fortunately, that was only one time though, but it's I know
one
what
thing
it's
one
a
thing
feeling.
I always say though, when I'm finding shed guys and I say they come from different areas of the world, and I always say where you're born and raised and how you come up through hockey makes you the type of teammate and person you are. like around here, it's a small town and we're a team and they're your brothers and that's your team. And then you get to the city and you see these Toronto folks that are just switching teams all the time. Like those guys are used to it and they don't have that same bond with their team when they come to professional. You know, that I find they can be more in it for themselves than the guys that were raised like you were in your hometown where you are born and raised Sternen and you play there and that's your squad, right?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. I also made my professional debut with guys I have played with since I was 6, 7 years old. So like, of course you get an extra, or like a special band to them, or like a bond to them, to the club and the team. And so like, I also see that in Norway that the fans and the supporters and sponsors and everything, they of course like to see the club
hometown,
develop
the puppies,
their own,
yeah.
When they develop their own pro team players. So,
it is cool, and that would be neat for everybody involved, the coaches that brought them up, the town. Like, it'd be like these kids that I'm raising around here. It's like to see them get to play professionally would be so cool, but then to think it could be in their hometown, that's not even a possibility around Canada.
Yeah. No, it's, of course, it's a different, how do you say, world there with so many rings and teams and opportunities here in, or like in, back in Norway. Then we barely have a little bit over 50 rinks. And yeah, so like it's...
So when you're growing up, how many kids are playing hockey in your age group in that town?
Yeah, we were about 40 players until we were like 12, 13 years old. And of course, about that age, then
people start.
Someone, yeah, they pick maybe football or something else. So like, of course, the number of players we have in Norway is way, way far from other countries have. So,
yeah.
But that also builds that extra feelings. Like my best friends today, those are the guys I play with. Yeah.
Well, that's what I love about coaching, man, is seeing these kids becoming friends for life. I always say, as a hockey guy, you can become teammates for a year or you can be friends for life. And when you see it happening for these kids and like you're coaching it and watching it happen, man, it's some magical shit.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's one of the big benefits with sports. No matter which sport, you learn how to work in a group and you learn how to handle different types of personalities. And I think that's of course a lot of focus is on the ice and the sport and the result, but it's also like the how do you say the
everything else
exactly
involved. It's like when I came back to the real world with my tail between my legs and I'd been educated but no real world experience, now that I've been in it and doing it, it's amazing what hockey taught me. You have to learn how to deal with all these different personalities. You have to try and bring people together to play well, to do well, to, and then you review your performances. You try and be better the next time. And it's very much just like playing the game, is you're always trying to improve, figure out how to do things better, how to make things easier. And then you're doing it in a team environment. And it's like, I was just in real world meetings on the same computer. And instead of hockey, we talked heat treatment, right? It's like the same thing.
Yeah. No, but you learn a lot, like work to achieve the same goals. And of course you can be a very good individual player, but you're not going to win many games. You have to do it together. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
Takes everyone to win. So you grow up there and I saw you got a little brother playing too, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. He grew up in the same place and he's what, 7 years younger than you?
Yeah. He's born in 2000.
Yeah. So, okay. So you basically are born and raised in that same town you play growing up, but then 2010-11, you play 18 games pro. And one of the guys on that team is the Glasgow Clan coach, eh?
Yeah.
Small world.
That's true. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So how was it jumping into pro there? You were still on the Team Norway under 18 team, so you were pretty young.
No, it was that was I got a chance to play with the pro team there, as you said, 18 games. So yeah, I was only 17, but it was good learning, and it was good for me to see like what it actually demands to play on the highest level in Norway. So that was of course a good experience.
So you were on the under 18 team Norway, you were on the under 20 team Norway, and you led the team in scoring, 9 points in 5 games. It's all right, eh?
Yeah, we were in the in what do you say, the B group that year, so we got promoted to the World Juniors. So unfortunately, that was my last year, so I didn't get the chance to play in the World Juniors. But
you got those the team up there. 94.
Yeah, that was we had a really good team that year, and from the goalie to our defense and our offense and our power play was really good that tournament. So we beat Denmark, Belarus, Slovenia, Austria, and France, I think. So.
That's memories, right? Your win with your country.
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's neat. Where all have you gone with Team Norway? Where all have you gone with Team Norway? You've been on the team many years. So you've been what's the coolest places you've gone with them?
I don't know. I've been places in Russia, I've been in Latvia, Czechia, Slovakia, Austria, even France. But the coolest place, I don't know, it's hard to say, but I've also been in many weird places. I think those are always like easier to remember. But I gotta say that when I was playing with the men's team and we were in Czechia, that was pretty fun. The fans there are good.
Yeah, Czechia is a sweet place. I went to Prague. Yeah. What a city that is.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. That's got to be quite the memory to get to play for your country. Anywho, good stuff, eh? You probably remember like your first time making the men's team too, eh?
Yeah, like that's not so long time ago. I played a lot of unofficial games, like those tournaments during the season. Like they usually have like
the Deutschland Cup in, type stuff, and
November, December, and February. So I played a lot of those tournaments. But when I actually got into the World Championship squad, that was in 2021. So that was actually something I've been trying for many, many years. So that was a good feeling to finally get the spot there.
No kidding. That was 2021. I thought it was the year you played 13 games with the national team, but that would have been different.
Yeah, that was a close year. But actually, if I don't remember wrong, that was the year New York Rangers got knocked out of the playoffs. So they obviously had one player there they want to join. So I understand that decision.
Is that Zuccarello?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he can play, eh?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. I've been bouncing all around. I don't even know where to look on my notes, you know? What are you going to do? So that team you went to in Austria last year is in the Ice Hockey League. That's a good league, eh? Mm-hmm. That's with Graz and Salzburg and all them?
Yeah, Bolzano is there. Ferevar is there. Klagenfurt is there. So Linz. So it's a lot of good teams. That was a really good league. And again, that was a good experience. It was a lot of good hockey players there, and the league is really good.
Austria. What was that town like? Vorarlberg?
Yeah, that's like the, how do you say, like the county, like the area around. So the town was Feldkirch.
Oh, Feldkirch or whatever.
Yeah. So they had the.
So they just changed their name. That's been a team before, yeah.
Yeah, true. So they're the same rink and everything, yeah.
I went to Austria for a couple preseason games. That's nice, eh?
Yeah, it's good fans there, and they're very passionate too. So yeah, it's
Things
I
are a
think
bit
also
cheaper
the
there than in Norway. I heard Norway things are expensive.
yeah, I think almost any country is cheaper than Norway. So
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, then it's got to be nice being in Manchester, right? Things can't be as expensive there.
No, that's true though. It's a little nicer to go grocery shopping here than when you see it.
So we've talked a bit about the EIHL so far, but what's your favorite away barn so far to play at?
Ooh. Favorite away barn. Obviously we played Sheffield away. That was, I think it was 8,000 people there. So
That's pretty
that
cool when they
was,
pack that big
yeah, that was
barn.
cool. Yeah. So and of course I think it's a lot of nice rinks. Like we have Cardiff. I think it's nice to play in Cardiff. Nottingham too, obviously, is also a
Big
nice rink.
ice.
We haven't been in Belfast yet, so of course, I have seen pictures and heard the guys talk about that they have a nice ring too.
Belfast is great. My favorite part about it is you have to fly there and you can't leave
Yeah.
after the game, so you get to stay as a team and be a team and do it, you know?
Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah.
You know what I mean. Fun times. Some of my favorite memories of playing in Cardiff were the Belfast trip. And I remember,
Yeah.
like, after the first year, when the schedule is released, the guys are like, Belfast doubleheader is this weekend, and it's important on the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could really bring a team together, folks.
That's important too, of course, like you have the team fielding, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I don't know what else I got. You got any questions for me yet? You don't. Don't worry about it. I got.
I just remember you asked me on the messages about my favorite chocolate, and
Yes.
I didn't answer the same as I have now because
That's true.
I like a lot of chocolate. I gotta admit that. So even though I miss the Norwegian chocolate a lot, I have found my favorites here. So yeah.
Yeah, it's Ferrero Rocher, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So those are great. Those are right in my wheelhouse too. I love some hazelnut, you know?
Yeah, they are really good.
My curiosity is, well, while we're waiting for the Norwegian chocolate to come, which was the what was it called?
Freya.
Fire milk
Freya.
chocolate, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And we're gonna get a picture of that and we're gonna post it and people are gonna import it. But in the meantime, while we're waiting for those to come, Ferrero Rochers are your jam. And I'm curious what's gonna happen because when you throw chocolate on the ice, it can get damaged. I'm curious what happens to those balls when they hit the ice.
Yeah, true. And yeah, I didn't think about that, but yeah, hopefully they have a soft landing.
Well, and if the package stays intact, then you can just like drink it, right?
Yeah.
If your
I
balls
don't,
break.
yeah.
Oh man. Anyways, so I do have a couple more questions though. So Norwegian minor hockey, okay? You're born and raised in that town. I know in Germany, there's dudes that get paid to coach minor hockey. Like they'll coach like three different teams or whatever it is, and their job is to coach minor hockey. I actually can't imagine getting paid to coach minor hockey because it's a passion for me. I love it more than anything. In Norway, do minor hockey coaches make money or do they just do it for the love?
I think it's up to a certain age. And I think when they get to maybe U13 or U14, I think some of the coaches are paid. But as I have understood, it's not very much.
And it's not
But
their
it's
job.
also,
It helps them out for
no,
doing
no.
it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like more like as a appreciation that they're doing it. And I think also it's also a way to get, for example, the little bit the problem I think in Norway is that if you're a U20 player, and you're in the last year and you don't make it to the pro team, it's not so many options for you to continue the sport you want to do. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them start coaching instead. And I think also we should, of course, have options for those who want to continue to play. Even though it's not super serious, they just want to play for fun, there should be more options. And that's very limited in Norway. But back to where you were asking, I think also when you get up to 13, 14, 15 years old, I think also a lot of clubs around Norway, they want to have a neutral coach. Not, for example, a dad who's always putting their son as a first centerman, as a captain, on the first power play, on the just first like PK, me. You know? Yeah, so I also think that that's like, as you say in Norway, like a small carrot to get like a little bit amount.
To get someone that has no ties to it, to like the amount of time and effort it takes, it's like for me, what I love so much about it is like last year coaching my daughter, this year my son, like I get to know all their friends. They get to become my friends too. And then like they're my people. And like, that's my, I get to help teach them how to hockey and be teammates and support each other. And there are dads out there, no doubt, that do that with their kids. And the way I always picture it is like, well, it shouldn't be easy. Like if you make it easy on someone, then they're never going to have it. It's like, I'm probably harder on my kid and try to make it tougher on him because I do know what he can do. And making it fair for all the kids is the only way you get buy-in from all the kids. And when they know it's fair, then they care more. They know hockey is the way it's supposed to be. But it is a weird thing when you get dads involved that maybe aren't making it hard on the kids or their kid.
Yeah.
And want to make it easy because that's not really how you do things.
Yeah. And it's also like, of course, it's not only because of that. It's also, as I said, that if you had a 21-year-old who just retired from playing himself, and as I said earlier, it's barely over 50 ice rinks in Norway. So some of the younger teams, they practice at 8 o'clock in the evening, 9 o'clock, even 10, or they finished by 11 in the evening. So having a 21-year-old or whoever who's not having a son or any connection to that team other than just being a coach, I think that's,
you have to give them something because as a 21 year old, there's a lot of things you can do during the night instead of that, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And the thing you were talking about, how there's not many options if you're not a pro player by 20, it's like, man, there's a lot of late bloomers in hockey. I was kind of one of them. Like there's guys that aren't ready for pro in their 20, but come your 22 or 23, you are ready. And like, you see the guys that get drafted so high to the OHL because they went through puberty before anybody else and they're huge, but like they don't actually keep getting better. And then all these other guys that weren't on the radar then pass them.
Exactly.
You do need places to play into your 20s.
Yeah, that's for sure. And that's what I think Zuccarello is doing a really good job in Norway, being a big star in NHL and important player for Minnesota. He always challenges our politicians and stuff to build more rings, and make more opportunities for everyone. So because right now hockey in Norway is mainly in the southeast, and north for Trondheim it's barely 3 or 4 ice rinks as I know. So that's like almost just half of the country. So
it's nice when you see the game you love and you're passionate about growing, right? It's like what I've seen in the UK, and to feel kind of a part of it over here. And like, I am wearing my Team GB hockey pants right now. Like I love seeing the sport grow in places where it hasn't been. And you see the kids coming up in the UK now, and it's because of the interaction with players and being at the glass during warm-up, and then they realize how fun hockey is and what it can be. And that's how you grow the game, right?
Yeah, I agree.
But fun fact for you, Zuccarello's new coach, assistant coach, is a Shed guy. Pat Dwyer, my teammate from Western Michigan, just became the assistant coach of the Minnesota Wild.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Played with him for 3 years at Western Michigan. He was the captain my biggest year in college. And, man, I have so much respect for that guy. He made it as a player. And now he's made it as a coach in just a few years, man. It's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, that's great. That's impressive.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure what else I got other than we should get this chocolate imported from Norway. I already forget the name again.
Freia
Milk Chocolate. And in the meantime, we're going to see if Ferrero Rocher balls crush when they hit the ice, right?
Yeah, that's not wrong either. Yeah.
But my thing is, I always thought hockey should be fun. I had coaches that made it not fun. And then you were playing because you loved the game, but it really wasn't that much fun. And then when you get around a team where hockey is fun, that's what happened to me when I went to Cardiff. Hockey was fun again. I was around guys that made hockey fun, from the equipment manager to the GM to the coach to all my teammates, the fans. It was hockey at its finest, and hockey was fun. And I think hockey players play better when they're having fun. And people may think I'm crazy, but earning chocolate, and when you lose, you don't get chocolate, and when you win, you do. I think that's fun, and I think hockey players play better when it's fun. And I just really appreciate Manchester's hockey family and how much fun I've got to have out here in my shed, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. We should only deserve the chocolate when we win, not when we lose.
Yeah, losing sucks. Winning's fun, right?
Yeah.
It's like the opposite. True. That's what someone once told me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, who do you guys play this weekend? Do you even know? I don't.
We play Glasgow on Saturday, tomorrow.
At home?
Yes.
Yes, you do. Against your former teammate, the coach.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be funny to make him watch the chocolate storm happen?
Of course. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
What's your nickname? I've been trying to figure it out. Is it Andy?
Yeah, that's an easy one.
I figured it's hired. There's not much we can do with that, eh? Hiresy? No. That's tough to say.
Yeah, Hersey, maybe. Someone call me Hersey. But
Hersey.
Andy it's easy, and I react to Andy. So yeah.
So, folks, get your chocolate from Norway. And in the meantime, it's Ferrero Rocher's, and this guy's going to run amok, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Go Devils, go Storm, go Concord and Canucks. And this has been another episode of Two Ales and Hockey Tales with Andy and Wally.
Some people clap on a 1 and 3. Some people clap on a 2 and 4. Some people don't join at all because they got no rhythm, and that's all right. Some people, they drink too much. Some people don't drink enough. Some people are just like me. I hope y'all forgive them. I'm like Scott, Sonic Gold Bands. I'm like Peace Out Town, Zan Zan.